Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Well, hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America, a program that Priests for Life is happy to do in partnership with Right Side Broadcasting Network. We welcome the audience of Right Side Broadcasting, as well as our own audience at endabortion.tv. And once again, we come together as Christian patriots from all across the country, and we welcome our viewers from various parts of the world in order to pray. In order to pray for America, in order to recommit ourselves to the values this country was founded on and to the need to defend and promote those values, in order to delve into the Word of God and deepen our own patriotic education. This is what we do on these programs, and we're delighted also to pray for all of your needs. So as we continue here, feel free to leave your prayer intentions in the comments. We all want to pray for you, and we want to invite all of you to pray for one another. At various times on this program, we bring in special guests who can help us to do exactly what I just described, and our guest today is particularly qualified to do that. Many of you, of course, would know and have followed over the years the works, the writings, the accomplishments of Phyllis Schlafly, an icon, a founder of the conservative movement in America, someone who understood America and how to defend America. Well, Phyllis has been called home by the Lord, and we miss her very much. But one of the key people carrying on her work and the work of her organization is our guest today, Ed Martin. We've been together many times, have done many things together. Ed, it's great to see you again.
Well, thank you, Father. And one of my prayers has been answered for your return to good health. And so we're all so grateful that you've rebounded so well. And we're grateful for the Lord to give such gifts of medical talent that they can keep us all healthy. So God bless you. And we're glad to see it. I know Phyllis, you mentioned the late Phyllis Schlafly, she would see you so often and often for mass and for prayer. And I was a great friend of yours. So thank you for having me on.
Yes. Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate all your prayers during the course of my recovery. Ed, before we get into the substance and praying here in the scriptures, could you explain to our audience just in a little bit more detail than I just did, the work that you do in carrying on Phyllis's legacy?
Well, you know, Father, we're a little bit like you, I think. Phyllis believed that to make an impact, you have to be prayerful, you have to be principled, but you also have to understand how and who is making things happen, right? So one of the things that Phyllis taught us was to understand politics and understand how things work. So the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, in her lifetime, she always called things Eagle Forum. We rebranded things Phyllis Schlafly Eagles because we revere her name as well as her life. And what we do is across the country, we have our main work is 501c3, so it's education on what it means to be American, our Constitution, our founding values, and especially pro-life, of course, and American sovereignty. safety, and then how it applies to politics. We don't, in that organization, we don't lobby. There are some other affiliated works organizations that lobby, but that's the work we're doing. And, you know, we're kind of fearlessly. In fact, I was going to tell you, Father, last time I was on with you, there's a book that Phyllis wrote. It was a speech she gave that we expanded, and it's called How the Republican Party Became Pro-Life. And it was Phyllis recounting how local action, not national ads, not national candidates, local action could organize pro-lifers to hold the Republican Party, which in the late 80s and early 90s wanted to become more liberal on abortion. And they held the party plank. We know there's one pro-life party in America now. There used to be two. The Democrats used to have that. Someone could be a Democrat and pro-life. It's not allowed under the Pelosi-Biden regime. So this little book, and in fact, I told your listeners last time, I'm happy to send a copy to anyone who's viewing this. It is kind of a prayerful book. It's Phyllis talking about how to work together. And again, if you just email me, you know, last time I did it and had my email address for my email and it flooded me, but I'll do it again. It's ed@phyllisschlafly.com. Happy to send any of your prayer participants a copy of the book. But we continue that work to be present to leaders, to be present to thought makers, you know, the people that are influencing things, and mostly, though, connect with the grassroots to make local action have a national impact.
Ed@phyllisschlafly.com, right?
Ed@phyllisschlafly.com, and it's a P-H-Y-L-L-I-S. Then there's another S for her Schlafly, S-C-H-L-A-F-L-Y.com. Ed@phyllisschlafly.com. Happy to, like I said, we had a great supporter who gave us some money to make sure to send these books out, so we'd love to do it.
Fantastic. And, you know, as you were relating that, I recalled many of those pro-life luncheons.
That's right.
That she would invite me to. That was done every time there was a Republican convention, right? Every 4 years, she would have a special luncheon for life. And I think part of the thrust of that was she was rallying the troops to make sure that as they had the platform committee meetings and so forth,
correct,
the pro-life plank would not just be in there, but I recall her saying, oh, we got to not only keep it there, we got to strengthen it.
Yeah. And you know, and it's because the platform, people think platforms sound anachronistic. They sound old fashioned. As you know, and we're going to talk in a moment, I picked out a scripture, words have power, right? The word of God is the most powerful, but the words have power in our community. And when you hold in your platform a description of pro-life, it makes a big difference. And you're exactly right. The last one was in Cleveland in 2016. Lou Holtz, the great Lou Holtz, was the speaker there, the keynote speaker. We were in the area at the stadium, the Cleveland Browns Stadium. There was about 600 people, and very effective because the 2016 platform was very pro-life. And again, my point here is as we pray for these key issues and pray for America, we need to recognize how our prayer calls us into action. Sometimes that's more prayer, sometimes that's volunteering, sometimes whatever it is. But in this case for Phyllis and in this book, we described how to make a difference and hold parties accountable in one specific way. So it was wonderful. Shall I read this scripture as we begin?
Yes. Let's do exactly that. Let's jump right into the word. Go ahead.
Okay. So I picked because of Phyllis, her favorite scripture, and it's from Isaiah 40:31. I'll read it so I don't mess it up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And Father, and for our prayer participants, as we get towards praying together on this, I just am reminded again that Phyllis Schlafly and we and others, Mother Teresa, I think, was particularly articulate on this, and many others of the saints of our times, our Christian heritage, have talked about how being faithful in prayer, in commitment to things, is the starting point. We want success. We pray for success. We want the Lord to bless America again and again. We repent our failings, but we're also called to be faithful in good times and bad times and times where we're uncertain or confused. We're called to be, and when we are, the Lord renews our strength. And for so many of us, we feel weary. We feel, you know, I was telling Father Pavone off the air, I was with General Mike Flynn in California a few days ago, and he was giving a talk. Someone said, "What's the biggest concern you have for America right now?" And, you know, if you ask that of other people in politics, they have all these crazy answers now that don't make sense. He said, apathy. And he went on to say, people are so tired, right? They feel like they put in their effort and it didn't work out and they're tired. And so we have to renew ourselves. We have to return to the Lord. He'll renew us. He'll strengthen us even when we feel like we're downtrodden and we're, you know, it looks like a lot of things that we thought we'd made progress on are being reversed at the national level and at the local level. We're seeing our children being taught things that make us really question how this can be happening in America. And yet we're called upon to renew our strength, to put aside apathy and to keep going. And the Lord says he'll strengthen us. He will be there with us, and he is. And so that's what inspired Phyllis, and in this scripture inspires me, Father.
Yes, I think this is really appropriate scripture and reflection because as I tell our audience all the time, the purpose of these broadcasts is that we would take the current political situation and apply our spiritual life to it. Apply the spiritual principles of Christian life and the Word of God to the situation. And so you're really zeroing in on one of the key ways that we do that, because it's a common experience. The program I did the other night was sort of a variation on this theme, Ed. We talked about anxiety. And people are, you know, we're anxious because, you know, what's going to happen to our country? What is happening to our country?
Right.
What is the future going to hold? And so, of course, Scripture says a lot about anxiety and about how to deal with it. And you're dealing with another dimension of this, the apathy, the sort of we stop ourselves.
That's right.
Sort of like a censorship of ourselves, where we
say,
"Yeah, I really can't go. You know, I really don't know how to go forward here." And yet, I was just reflecting the other day in one of my sermons about when Moses was with the people in the desert, and the Red Sea was on one side. And then Pharaoh and his army decided to chase after them, and they're on the other side. And he cried out to God, and the Lord said, tell the Israelites to go forward.
Right.
And it was like, I think to myself, Moses must have said, well, gee, why didn't I think of that myself? You know, just go forward. You know?
Yeah.
But that's really the situation we're in, isn't it? It's just like God is saying, you know what to do. You know what's right. America still has its system in place. We can still get people out of office and vote people in. Keep doing what you know is right. Go forward.
Well, and with all due respect to some of the people in the last kind of decade or so that have written books, I think one was called The Benedict Option, that was sort of like retreat into your own local community and make good. I understand that. I think I understand that instinct. I don't agree with the application. I tend to think retreat into your church and your family so that you can not put your light under a bushel basket. As you say, Father, you know, one of the great temptations of the devil and one of the great efforts of communism is to compel us to self-censor. The communists want us to self-censor on the things we believe are right about politics and our economy and how we live. That's what they want. They want the cancel culture is not about only ending some people who have big voices. It's about teaching the next person to hold their tongue. And the devil certainly wants us to say things like, well, I believe in Christ. I believe in the communion of saints and in the church. And I believe in the specialness of America that's worth recognizing. I'm not going to say that too much. I'm going to keep that back because I don't want to have to deal with that. That's what secularism, which is a form of Satan's worship, is what's doing. So you're exactly right. Part of apathy is weariness, but part of it is that teaching. How many times in the Bible, you'll have to tell me, Father, hundreds of times, we hear Jesus say, not commentators, not other one. Jesus says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. In other words, he's recognizing what the temptation is, and he's doing that. And so part of my prayer is to bringing up Isaiah is to remind you of the words, we shall be renewed when we do the right thing. I was with a gentleman in Phoenix, Arizona a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how he just decided that he was going to witness to Christ with one person at a time, every time he had a chance. And he said, when I started to realize was when I would find this opportunity to witness, I would feel good. And I think the Lord liked it. And he said, and I sort of got hooked on the feeling. He said, I was doing the right thing. And I got hooked on the feeling. We have to remember, we'll be renewed When you're weary, it's because you've worked hard. But it's also, if your weariness is in your spirit, it's because you're not returning to the scripture and to the Lord in prayer, because he will renew us. And we know this. We see the hardest working people who are, they should be exhausted, and they're renewed regularly. And you say, ha, that man or woman is close to the Lord. And so, you know, one of the reasons I like so much what you do, Father, and what Right Side Broadcasting Network is doing with these prayers is, this is one key. You can't do all the good work, knock on doors, change your, you know, encourage your pastor to speak out, all this stuff, if you're not having regular contact with the Lord through prayer. It's a disconnection. You're losing your charge. Your batteries are not going to recharge if you're disconnected from the real power source.
Exactly. For those viewers and listeners that are just joining us, this is Praying for America with Right Side Broadcasting Network. And I'm Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. And we're joined by Ed Martin, who heads up Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles. Phyllis was, as many of you know, a key founder of the conservative movement in America, and really a great legacy to study and to pass on. We're talking about keeping vigorous in the spiritual life, so that we can keep doing our activity without apathy, without growing weary, without slowing down. Ed, you know, both in my shot here in the studio and in yours, we've got a picture of a man behind us who, and I want to talk about a little bit about Phyllis's support of him, President Donald Trump, of course. You know, he teaches and exemplifies this very lesson that you and I are delving into here. I keep repeating, you know, he said it in his recent rallies, at which I hope everyone is watching. And of course, that's how Right Side Broadcasting became famous, covering President Trump's rallies from mic to mic without interruption and without distraction. Right Side continues to do this. And we do as well. And the idea behind it is, you know, as he's been saying in recent speeches, look, this is the greatest movement in American political history that we have started. And he always talks about the fact that it's a movement. It's not about just him as an individual. It's a movement. And he said, and we have only just begun. And I love that positive, forward-looking, growth-inspired, determined, optimistic attitude that President Trump conveys. That fosters in the people the kind of energy that this scripture that you brought to us from Isaiah is talking about, right? And President Trump gets it. He gets it, and he knows how to help other people get it too.
Well, and if you study scripture, you study the word of God, I mean, lots of people are called forth to be leaders of the Christians, and they're not always the obvious ones and not always the perfect ones. And they're not, you know, who knew what the Lord was doing? Sometimes our imagination is limited by sort of our modern desire to figure everything out. We don't have a broadness of it. And as you mentioned, what Phyllis Schlafly, the late Phyllis Schlafly, saw in Donald Trump was, on policies, when he started talking, he was in the direction of the things that make America very special and really different than other places. I mean, when the Lord blesses America, it's not only because he just likes us, that we're swell. It's because he sees in what's happening as a community things that foster the kinds of fulfillment and life-affirming conduct, right? There's something about the American rule of law, the Judeo-Christian principles, that launched forth meaningful work and relationships and associations that is very, very good for the human flourishing. And so you mentioned Donald Trump, a couple observations. One, if you look closely at the inspirations in his life, one of the strongest was Norman Vincent Peale, who was a Presbyterian minister in New York City. Every Sunday, young Donald Trump was taken to church by his dad. He went for years and years and years into the 80s when Norman Vincent Peale passed away. Pastor Peale was one of the most famous sort of up by your bootstraps American dream guys, except he never took Christ out of it. See, a lot of the modern people that say, hey, you can do it, you're really clever, you're so, no, you go read Norman Vincent Peale, he always talked about the power of Christ, we could do all things in Christ, and incredible training. So when I see Trump and his failings that the media likes to point out, I say, well, I'm glad they don't put all my sins on TV, because it'd be pretty damning too, right? So, but what he shows is incredible energy. No one disputes that Donald Trump is one of the most extraordinary energy monsters ever. I mean, in terms of the intensity, there's never been anything like it. There's even Bill Clinton, who was obsessed with politics, didn't have the energy of a Donald Trump. Same thing with Obama. So you say to yourself, you're training when you're young, your conduct is. And then most importantly, Father, when I was watching the open of this prayer time, I hearing his words, we don't elect a savior. Don't look for a savior to be elected. We don't elect a pastor even. The people that want to be pastored to, like by Pastor Obama, they're misunderstanding the role of government. They're actually falling for the devil's trick that government can save you, right? So, but we elect a leader who directs us and our energy. And what Donald Trump did with the 1776 Commission, with his trips overseas, where he made a point of being present in the places of Western civilization, he pointed us towards what makes America special. And you know, I know some of his speechwriters, and they would tell me, they were great conservatives and they're great Christians. And they would say they would write for him. He would drive them towards messages about the American exceptionalism. The last point on this is, if you want to bury your a light under a bushel, it's the opposite of the city on the hill, right? The city on the hill was shine your light. And so people can see it as a beacon. And I think that's what Donald Trump did. One of the reasons I get so frustrated with our own experience of President Trump is, put aside the policy differences, he has led our ideas about America's specialness towards what is, again, most life affirming. And so we've got to put aside the hullabaloo and all the nonsense and get back to that. So, but again, the most important thing, as you said, is, and we talked about, Isaiah says, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's not wait on Ed and Father Frank. It's not even wait on Donald Trump. It's wait on the Lord. Then he'll renew you and he'll give you wisdom. And his plan of salvation history is obviously more than we can see, but is great and glorious. And that's what we have to push for.
Well, you know, the president's a constant reference to we are dependent on God, not government, reinforces this idea. He says it clearly in his rally speeches. And you know, as you were talking, too, I remembered Phyllis. Of course, you co-authored. Tell us about this other book. You co-authored with Phyllis, The Conservative Case for Trump.
Yeah. Well, Phyllis and I, what we knew, again, we knew politics, and we knew Phyllis and I thought that if Trump was a nominee, which we expected he would be in spring of 2016 is when we were talking about it, we were going to see in the fall two things. One, the media was going to go back and try to damage him. And two, conservatives were going to be tempted to say, oh, well, he's not conservative enough. I don't trust the New Yorker, right? So we wrote the book that came out the day after Phyllis died. Ironically, she died on September 4th, 2016. The book launched on September 5th, and it was a New York Times bestseller. But the idea of The Conservative Case for Trump was to describe what he had said and what he said he would do. And, you know, how he looked at America and how he looked at pro-life. Look, you and I both are longtime pro-lifers, fighters in the vineyards, and lots of your listeners and prayer participants. We've heard a lot of people say that they're pro-life, get in power and not do it. I mean, I could point to speaker. Right. The last Republican Speaker of the House is one that I think of most often. But Donald Trump talked about, and Phyllis said, look, you got to be ready. And our book was designed to help hold the conservatives. And it worked, right? Even after the Billy Bush thing and all this stuff that they tried to do to him. We said to each other, let's take a chance on this guy. And again, don't judge him on CNN or even Fox. Judge him on the policies that happen about American sovereignty, about pro-life. Yeah. Father, you and I, I'd taken a bet on January 1st, 2017, would we get a real pro-life president like we got in our lifetime? We wouldn't have bet for it. We would have said he'll be pretty good. He'll do something. It's extraordinary, right? And the contrast is unbelievable now that Biden has changed a lot of rules. But that's what we were doing. And the book, The Conservative Case for Trump, it reads pretty well right now. I don't know what I think of it, but it could read it again for the next time President Trump runs for president, but we'll see. But more importantly, that was understanding each other, right? I don't want to be sincere and be unsuccessful. I'm not going to lie, but I want to talk to people where they are. And one of the things we're called to, again, by the Lord, is to go out with our light. Don't bury it under a bushel basket. And again, I just go back to Isaiah. You know, we wait on the Lord and he'll renew us and we can do it.
That's right. And you know, I remember too, one of the reasons this worked, as you said, this rallying around the president, which she was helping to pioneer, was that she said, look, the thing I'm focusing on is not how experienced he is on some of these conservative issues. He's pointing in the right direction. The thing I'm relying on, as I recall, she said, was whom he will listen to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To whom does he consider himself accountable? She said, he'll listen to us. He'll learn from us. He won't listen to the elites, you know, the establishment politicians who will lead him down a road of, frankly, of mediocrity, you know, of trying to please everybody. No, she said, he'll listen to the right people. And boy, has that proven true.
Well, and look, he called her. She only met him once or twice, I think, as I recall, once at the convention and once a few months before when she endorsed him. But she talked to him on the phone periodically. And she also believed, which I think most people believe, which is so funny because the media tries to make it the opposite. She believed him a man of his word. So when she said, will you appoint justices like Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia? I was in the room. He said, I will. I promise you. And he did. Right. And,
he said,
will you defend the platform that's so conservative after decades? And he said, I will. And he took her copy of the 2012 platform and he did. So, you know, they may say that he lied and fact check. But on the fundamentals, he was direct. The other thing he said, Father, and it's so important for people to hear. Phyllis Schlafly once said, someone came up to her, you had the same experience, so conservative in the vineyard for decades, and said, how can you do this, Phyllis? You know, we have to be for so-and-so. How can you be for Trump? He's this, that, and the other thing. And she said, we're electing a president, not a pastor. If you're looking for a pastor or a savior. So, and actually she was more generous. She would say that, you know, I'd love to see all these people have their lives critique like they can critique his. But my point is you're electing somebody who get the job done. And one of the reasons why we saw such attacks against him was because he was getting the job done. He got the job done on lots of important issues that made America a renewal, you know, again. So, it is, She believed in him, and she believed in him in a way that I think was the same way she believed in other leaders in her life. She said, this is a man who will keep his word. It didn't mean she, you know, she was in the Bush, she was in the Reagan fights, and she would have described the Reagan White House as you know, torn by back and forth. And President Trump, every president's going to have some of that. And President Trump did too. Some people we'd say, boy, I don't think so-and-so was conservative enough, but he got there, right? You could be sincere and never make it past dog catcher. But if you're going to be president, you got to know how to be sincere, how to be successful. And then he honored what he said he would do.
He sure did. Well, let's pray about that now. I'd like to, I'll offer a prayer, and then Ed, I'd like to invite you to pray with our audience as well. And Lord, we just thank you for Phyllis, for the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, for these books that we've talked about, for the work that Ed and his team do. And we thank you for President Donald Trump and for the great movement, Lord, that he continues to lead. We know that it is a movement, Lord, that is rooted, as our founders rooted this country, in dependence upon you, acknowledgement of your law, acknowledgement of you as the supreme judge, acknowledgement of your providence to which we entrust this nation's future. And Lord, we just maintain the same spirit, the same attitude. We stay in the same posture that no matter what is going on around us, we will not be frightened. We will not be apathetic. We will not be paralyzed. We know the direction in which we are moving, just as Phyllis always knew and always urged us, as your word urges us, to move forward, to rise up with strength, and to not be afraid. So we thank you, Lord, for the many examples that you have placed in our path to follow. We thank you for the inspiration that you continue to give us in the many comrades and colleagues that you give us in this battle. And we thank you for this great nation. Our prayer for America, oh God, starts with gratitude in our hearts to you. We see your hand of providence. We see your hand of blessing. And we take that hand once again today, Lord, moving forward with renewed strength and with renewed confidence. And we do this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Let me just read again Isaiah 40, 31, and then I'll offer a short prayer. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father, we turn to you as Father Pavone said, and I join in his prayer, and we just say thank you for the gift of the men and women of this nation, for America. We just thank you first, and we praise you, and we give glory to you for all your goodness to us and for the gifts you've given us. We also turn to you now, and in a spirit of repentance, we say we're sorry where we failed you, especially on things like the scourge of abortion, but in our own lives. And we know we've fallen short of the great generosity you've given us, but we acknowledge that and we repent of that, and we will strive and commit to do better. And Father, we just ask you to bless America now. You know, you say wait upon the Lord. Well, you also call us to pray for what we need and what we want, and we know it to be your will be done, but we believe America is worthy of your blessings again. We call upon you. We say, Lord, please bless America, especially bless her citizens. Bless every American, Lord. Bring us together, not just renewed, as you say, in our strength in Isaiah, but also renew our commitment to each other, to love one another as you have taught us. Love God first and then love one another. Love our neighbors. And as Americans only can, we just ask you to renew that. And we know as we stay close to you, Lord, and as we wait on you, you will renew us and we will be strong. We won't grow weary. And we just say thanks be to God. All praise be to God. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Ed, I'd like to invite you and all our audience to join me in offering the Lord's Prayer. And, yeah. And as we do, to remember also all the intentions. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for letting us know all the intentions that you and your loved ones have. We hold those up to the Lord together right now. All of us praying for one another with confidence as we use the very words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as an action item, Ed, we always give people something to do. And I think basically we already have, in as much as you mentioned that great book at the outset. I think as our action, we ought to ask people, get this book and read it and share it. Let them know again where to get it.
Yeah, this you can email me directly. If you email me, ed@phyllisschlafly.com, and it's free of cost. If you send me your name and your mailing address, I'll mail a copy to you. Happily, we had a great supporter who helped us. Again, the book is called How the Republican Party Became Pro-Life, and I would say it as a little bit of a primer on how you take what you find in your faith about love of life and put it into practice. And I just remind you of this line that General Flynn said the other day, local action, national impact. Don't worry about the national impact. Get the local action going. So ed@phyllisschlafly.com, totally free of charge. I'll cover the shipping. It won't cost you a nickel. And then when you read it, I think you'll be inspired.
Praise the Lord. Ed, please stay on when the program finishes, but we'll say thank you now to our audience and with the Lord's blessings. And thanks to you for helping us pray to get into the Word and such fruitful reflections. God bless you and all the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles.
Thank you, Father.
And Lord, and friends, may the Lord bless all of you, hear all your prayers, and give you his protection and grace, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Connect with me on social media, FR Frank Pavone, on all the different platforms, and with Right Side Broadcasting, of course, RSB Network. And we will talk to you again tomorrow night. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.